Sports Podcast with Azmir Begovic.
Welcome to another episode of Season Sports with me, Azmir Begovic, where today we're going to be talking about the restart of the MLS season. And pleased to say I've got Charlie Davis, an ex-US men's national team striker and MLS soccer analyst, joining me here on the show today. Charlie, how are you, man? Long time no speak.
I know. I'm doing well. The family's happy, and that's all you can ask for. So I'm looking forward to MLS kicking off with this MLS's back tournament.
Well, that's what I want to ask you first. First and foremost, how have you found the last couple of months? Are you and the family all okay and healthy? Which I know is the most important thing above everything else.
Oh yes, we've been very fortunate to be able to go out to Cape Cod, which is about an hour outside of Boston, and just be by the beach. So the boys are in heaven. I have twin boys. They're four years old. So they love being out here. We're in isolation, and everything has gone well. And I've been quite busy with work because we're also fortunate to work from home. So it's been an interesting year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. And thankfully, which is the main reason I have you on, obviously, is we've got some sport coming back. The MLS being, I guess, the first major league in America to come back, which will be on July the 8th, where 26 teams are going to report to Orlando and going to play in the World Cup style tournament. Give me your initial thoughts about this setup. What you think of the idea that the MLS guys have come up with?
I think it's great. We've been off for so long, and everybody's been itching to get back on the pitch and compete. After being off for so long and trying to figure out how can we get back on the field and be fit, because we haven't been able to see each other, we haven't been able to train. There's a lot of teams with new coaches who are trying to implement new systems, have an identity, the philosophy. So you can only do so much via Zoom calls, and so now it gives everyone a month or so to get fit, and then you start with the tournament. And all these games in the group stage count towards the regular season, which will happen after this tournament. So I think it's a fantastic way to get the excitement going again for guys to feel fresh. You're down in Orlando. It's going to be hot. It's going to be the climate down there is difficult to play in because of the humidity. It gets really hot, but all these guys are professionals, and I think it's a distraction from what's happening also in the States with all the protests and the riots. Also, COVID-19 still prevalent in this country. So there's a lot of distractions, and you can come here, focus on playing, get back to just loving the game and going out there and competing, which is, I think, a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I mean, I personally can't agree with you more. On last week's show, we were talking about the return of the NBA. In this sort of bubble format, and I thought myself that the NBA got it absolutely spot on. You know, you have to somehow plan in advance. You have to get teams together. You have to give them an idea what they're going to be doing, because you can't just bring something on a week in or 10 days out. So they've given everyone enough notice, and I think this is a great way of improvising, doing something different. You know, doing something that's going to, like you said, get the excitement levels up and out there once again for soccer especially, but all the other sports also. And I think it's a really cool way. So at the end of this tournament, you're going to have a qualification spot for the CONCACAF Champions League. Is that right?
Yes, you will. The winner gets $1.1 million to share amongst the squad, and then an automatic spot in CONCACAF Champions League.
Okay, that's awesome. So we've got, so this is the part you're going to need your help with. So we've got five groups of four teams and one group of six teams. Why why that one group of six teams? How does that work? Because usually every team plays three group matches. How is that group going to be able to work it out?
So that group will still, every team will only play three matches. So they don't play, everyone doesn't play each other in that group. It's not the best group for these teams, because it's going to be a little bit harder to get out. Philadelphia Union, New York City are the two favorites in that group. And you throw in Orlando City with a new coach, Oscar Perea, who's had a ton of success in the past with FC Dallas when he's coached in MLS. And then Inter Miami is a new squad. Chicago Fire has a new coach. And Nashville is normally a Western Conference team, but they've moved them to the Eastern Conference just to fit within this tournament style. So that group is going to be interesting because there are four third-place finishers that will advance to the quarterfinals. In that group, the third place is it's not normal for, you know, three out of four teams in a group is okay. You're like, I like our chances. In Group A, third place is still very difficult to achieve. It's not as easy as it would be for the rest of the other groups. So you would imagine, because there are so many teams, whoever's in third place will easily qualify because they'll have more points than the other groups. But the toughest group that we've seen is Group F. I mean, that's the difficult draw. LAFC and LA Galaxy. That's the big rivalry, which we saw last year with Zlatan Ibrahimovic playing for LA Galaxy and Carlos Vela for LAFC. Houston Dynamo, it's a new look team. They have some talented players. And then Portland Timbers, who are always a strong competitive team in that group. It's a very difficult group to get out of.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, Chicharito now replacing Zlatan as that main man for the Galaxy. So it's interesting to see how he's going to settle in. I think that's kind of what I want to talk to you now about, is looking ahead to the season. Finally, we're getting there. The MLS is going to be back, and it's exciting. And lots of change, as always, as every offseason brings, lots of change. You just mentioned a few new managers there. You know, I think maybe the biggest one of them all, you could say Jaap Stam. Now Cincinnati bringing him in, so it's another big name going to the MLS.
Thierry Henry with Montreal. Thierry
Henry, 100%. Obviously, he's had a couple of games, hasn't he, before this lockdown. So that's awesome for the league. You know, Bojan Krkić signing as well from Montreal. So Vincent Wanyama. So some big names going on. Lots of players moving over to the States. So I think it's great for the league. I mean, give me a couple of these storylines that you're going to find very interesting to follow.
Group C is probably the most competitive, which is in the Eastern Conference. You have Toronto FC, who are, you know, MLS Cup finalists last year. They lost to Seattle Sounders in the finals. New England Revolution, who have arguably the best midfielder in the league, and Carlos Gil, who played for Aston Villa for a bit, the young Spaniard, fantastic player. The Montreal Impact with Thierry Henry, like you said, Bojan Krkić. They signed Victor Wanyama. This team is starting to understand what Thierry Henry wants from them. And I got to see them the first game of the season where New England Revolution played them. They're able to beat the Revolution at home. The Revs were missing Carlos Gil in that match, but Montreal Impact look like they're understanding how Thierry Henry wants them to play. How can we get behind defenses? How can we play to Bojan Krkić's strengths? So they're an interesting team. And then DC United, where Wayne Rooney played last year, you know, they're also a team that's revamped. And, you know, when I look at this group, any team can come out as the first place. There is no given in this group. Everyone is, I think, on the same level. So I think that's going to make up for some interesting matchups. Group F, like I stated before, Galaxy haven't played to their strengths. They haven't been able to find Chicharito in the box yet. They're not on the same wavelength. So understanding where Chicharito makes those runs into the box, the timing, because his timing is usually impeccable, but he has to be on the same page as everyone else. And they still have some things to figure out. Group E, Atlanta United, we've seen Joseph Martinez, what he's done over the course of the past three seasons. What a striker. Always dangerous. Always looking to get on the end of things. He's been out with an ACL tear. So how does Atlanta United look different? They've spent, you know, millions and millions of dollars on Ezequiel Barco and PT Martinez, two South American players who eventually will look to go on to play in Europe. But can these guys put the team on their back and start scoring and creating the opportunities for other players and dictating the tempo? That's what they paid, you know, tens of millions of dollars to get these players. So let's see if they can rise to the occasion. Columbus Crew in Group E is one of those teams that Caleb Porter has had success. He's won an MLS Cup with Portland Timbers. This team has a ton of potential and depth. They could be a shock in Group B and to go on deep in this tournament, and they have potential to make a deep run. And then Seattle Sounders are the defending MLS Cup champs in Group B, but they have FC Dallas, who is filled with the most talented youngsters in MLS. That they have probably the best academy that prepares these players to make the jump from 16, 17, 18 years old and play right away, first team minutes, and have success. So it's a bunch of young players who've had, you know, a year or two under their belt in Major League Soccer, and now they feel, okay, we're ready to have some success, and possibly now we'll be able to sell those players to Europe, because many of them have made the jump to the full team for the U.S. men's national team. So every group, Azmir, what I love about MLS is that you're not seeing, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and then the rest of the pack, or, you know, Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, and the rest of the pack. Everyone's pretty much on the same wavelength because of the salary cap, right? So you can only have three players who make a certain amount of money. The designated players, they make a ton of money. Then the rest of the squads are relatively even. So the parity is not crazy. And on any given day, anybody can be the top team. That is why MLS is great, because I think everyone can compete for the championship. No one feels, oh, they're too out of this league. You know, LAFC is a very strong team, and they're probably the best of the bunch, but the rest are right there, which is a very compelling tournament, because anybody can literally win this one.
Well, first and foremost, you corrected me there, Victor Wanyama. Why I called him Vincent Wanyama, I'll never know. So that was
no worries.
Yeah, I was like, maybe his brother's gone there or something, but no, it's Victor Wanyama, absolutely. Charlie Davis joining me here on the Season of Sports US Soccer podcast host, as well as New England Revolution analyst and all around MLS soccer analyst. Charlie, I want to get your thoughts a little bit about obviously this tournament and the whole season ahead. I hear a lot of analysts talking about what the stoppage means for teams. So are the teams looking ahead to MLS, the playoffs, MLS champions, all that kind of stuff, are the teams with the least amount of disruption going to probably benefit from this? You know, teams that have stayed impact, you know, together, intact, I guess, the likes of LAFC, you know, for Carlos Vela, same coach, Bob Bradley. Atlanta is obviously very, very strong, as always. One of the things you mentioned, obviously, but what I love about the MLS so much, I follow you guys, is that it's so even, and just in general, the competitive balance in American sports is what I really love about it. So give me your sort of teams that do you think is going to be the favorites for the overall season, looking ahead to the whole thing.
Yes, the teams that have been together, that have the same coach, the players who know their roles, and the teams that have identities are typically the ones that are going to have success. LAFC are the clear favorites. When you have Carlos Vela and Bob Bradley and the young players that they've signed from South America, they've had a great talent, scouting talent there. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they're in the place that they are because of the people that they have working for them. John Thorrington, who I played with on the U.S. men's national team, is also a fantastic president there. He's been able to oversee how this is how we're going to have success in MLS. I've played in MLS. I've grown up within the United States. I know how the system works, and they've done a fantastic job of building that roster from the ground up. FC Dallas, like I stated before, it's all about the youth there, developing talent and then trying to have success with that talent and then selling them overseas. So, now that those youngsters have grown a little and they have some experience under their belt, it makes them dangerous because, you know, youthful kids who have all this energy and now are starting to understand, okay, this is how we have to win games. We have to change our approach, or we have to change our mentality. Those little things, those small details that get you which is the difference between 3 points and a point, or 1 point and nothing. So I think they're finally understanding this is how we need to win. We can't play a certain way every single game. Sometimes you got to adapt. And so they're finally understanding the way of Major League Soccer and how you can come away with wins and get into the playoffs and make a run. Sporting Kansas City, normally a very strong team. Last year, they were horrible. This year, they look like now they're ready to compete again. So Group D, Sporting Kansas City and Minnesota United are probably the two strongest teams. Colorado Rapids had a new coach in Robin Fraser last year who turned it around for them. So that could be interesting. Giuseppe Rossi signed for Real Salt Lake. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get fit, fully fit. And then can we see the old Giuseppe Rossi where he's banging goals left and right? If he can rediscover that form, that makes Salt Lake an interesting squad. But the teams that have been together, the LAFCs, Toronto, Seattle Sounders, those are the teams, Philadelphia Union to an extent. Those are the teams that are going to, you would expect to be in the final four. The guys that have been together, that have strong rosters, great coaches, that's usually where you'll find them.
Going a little bit more to your local scene over there, what's the expectations for the New England Revolution this year?
Very high. When you have Carlos Gil and Gustavo Bow, who can create from nothing, such talented players, and then you throw in Adam Buxa, who now they think is has the talent to go on to go back to Europe and excel. You know, he just got called into the Polish national team last year, so they feel like, okay, now we have a top striker, this Adam Buxa from Poland, who can come in and score and you know, get you loads of goals. He was able to score in the second game of the year against Chicago Fire. So it was good to see him, his movement in the box. But this team feels like they're ready. And Bruce Arena's the most iconic coach in U.S. soccer history. And he's at the helm trying to manage this team and get the best out of them. And he's done a fantastic job so far. So the New England Revolution, I think, are going to get out of Group C. It's that simple. They have talented players. They have the mentality to grind things out when needed, and they can counterattack. So this team is well rounded and has some depth as well. I really do think that they're going to make a strong run in this tournament.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to finish you off on a question from one of our listeners. We've had a question on Instagram.
Yes.
Who is your pick for MLS MVP for this upcoming season?
Oh, you know, I had one prior to the season kicking off, and you know, I think I have to change it, because it's one of those things where you think, okay, this is how you imagine things playing out. And LA Galaxy, you have Chicharito coming into the squad, so naturally I thought Christian Pavone would be the MVP this year, because we had glimpses of how dangerous he was in the open field and how he can create. And I thought, okay, he's not only can he score goals, he's going to feed Chicharito and have, you know, 10, 15 assists this year to go with 10, 15 goals to make a perfect MVP candidate. I'm just going to go back to the original Carlos Vela. You know, Joseph Martinez is out. Carlos Vela is Carlos Vela. And I think when the season is the way it is right now, broken up into different parts, and now you're throwing in a tournament and you don't have the fluidity of a full season, the ups and downs. Right now, I'm going to give it back to back, give it to Carlos Vela, because I think he's going to perform and do some special things in the tournament and then in the post tournament. So I'm excited to see it. And, you know, I have a question for you. Has Zlatan, you said anything about MLS, you know, being in the Milan locker room? Was he happy with his performance in MLS? Was he happy with the teams and the competition? Does he talk about it at all?
You know what? He's been very positive about the MLS. I mean, he didn't have to sell me on it because I follow the MLS incredibly closely, and I love the league, and who knows for the future, right? But he was incredibly positive about it. You know, he really enjoyed the experience from a footballing point of view, and I think the standard is definitely a lot higher than even still people give it credit for. You know, I think the pull of just a giant like AC Milan was a little bit too much for him to resist.
Right.
But you know, he's been very positive about it. I mean, obviously the league is growing all the time, and you know, when people like that talk so positive about it, you can see. I mean, if Zlatan goes, you know, Chicharito comes in. You talk about Thierry Henry, Yapstam, Rafael Vicky, you know, I think at Chicago, there's some serious names. You talk about De Boer being the coach at Atlanta. So from that point of view, you know, for us as older to see, the MLS is definitely going in the right direction, and long may it continue. So,
right.
We'll see. But all positive things for him, that's for sure.
Oh, awesome. That's great to hear. Because, you know, when I was playing in Europe, I'd watch, you know, the league grow. And I can't tell you how many players that I've come into say, man, I want to play in MLS one day. Yeah, I want to play in America. You know,
it's definitely growing so much.
The allure of playing in the United States, right? But now the league has grown so much, and it now you have teams that are respectable that can compete. So I would love to hear and see more Europeans coming over to Major League Soccer during their primes, you know, in years where they can, you know, they can play 5, 6, 7 years within MLS.
Well, if anyone needs a goalkeeper, just put my name.
All right. Do me a favor. All right. Keep that phone line open.
Charlie, listen, I appreciate you joining me here, man.
Of course.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. I couldn't be more excited to see the MLS back very, very soon. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy the rest of the regular season after that. And I hope, obviously, you and I will be in touch. And I hope we see
Absolutely.
You. Stay safe. Look after the family and take care of yourself, man.
Thank you. You too. And anytime you need me, I'm ready to go.
Thank you, Charlie. Take care.
All right, you too.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that chat with me and Charlie Davis about the return of the MLS. Big step in American sports. We've just had golf back. They're coming back. The NBA is back end of July. So hopefully baseball will get their act together. Hockey's coming back soon as well. So step by step, we're all getting there. We're a little bit tight for time this week, so we'll try and get to the huddle next week. Get your questions in, everyone, to our social media pages on Twitter, on Instagram, and of course on Facebook. And I'll get to all of them. Keep listening to us on Audio Boom. Keep listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, wherever you get your podcast from. And I'll be back with you guys very, very soon.